good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Ogama Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And I want to say this episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count.
Yeah, Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. So nearly 80% of brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days, and small moments of interaction like talking, playing, reading, and singing help create pathways that build a child's brain during this early stage in life. You can find more information by going to littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, I just, before we get going, Ogama, with our guests and our partners here with Barb, I just want to give a quick shout out to prayers up to all our relatives in Florida. Big 18-foot waves and things like that. I just watched the news before we got on here, and our prayers are out to all our relatives in Florida. And also, I just want to throw out this, too. The last episode of Reservation Dogs is on tonight, or it was dropped tonight, so prayers up for that. What a great show, and it was upped for another season three, so we're really excited about that. And before I get too much further into my own thing here, I want to bring on Barb Faber, and she's president of All Nations Rise, CEO Indigenous Visions, and Lynn is with her today, and I'm gonna have Barb introduce Lynn because I seem a little tongue-tied here. So, well, welcome back, Barb. Oh, you're muted, and it's there. You go. Now you're good. It happens.
All right, I gotta remember that.
No problem. Hey, welcome back, Barb. We're excited to talk about a few things tonight, and great to have you on again.
Oh, Anin and Buju, Robert, it's great to be here with you and Ogama and Lynn. We're on tonight to talk about Indigibox. And Indigibox is an educational subscription box for early childhood learning environments such as childcare, preschool, Head Start, Language Nest. And it's filled with lots of early learning tools that'll benefit these programs in classrooms serving Indigenous children. And this box is geared around the Ojibwe and the four seasons of Ojibwe values and customs. And its goal is to create subscription boxes. Our goal is to eventually include more cultures and into Indigibox. So, and I'm really excited because Lynn from Grand Portage is an early childhood teacher, and she's agreed to come on and share her experience with Indigibox. And I'm going to let Lynn introduce herself.
Lynn accidentally muted herself.
There, I watched. Now is that okay?
I watched that.
I'm a lead teacher at Grand Portage Head Start in Grand Portage, Minnesota, and I use the Indigibox with my students. And I always tell Barb, I am her biggest fan. I love this. As a non-Native teacher of Native children, I feel a huge sense of responsibility to honor the culture and accurately continue the customs and traditions. So this is my best resource that I have.
Wow, that's awesome. Hey, Barb and Lynn, what is all in the Indigenous box, and how did it come about? That sounds pretty cool.
Well, we have a variety of activity pages in there. We have material that provide lessons around the indigenous seasonal activities that you would find in an Ojibwe environment. We have a book based on a seasonal theme. We have a local art item. We have a teacher appreciation gift and a resource magazine. And so it's all created so that the teacher can share with children on Ojibwe customs and activities. It's all based around seasons, so it's whatever's happening in that season. Like fall, of course, is harvesting manomin, wild rice. Spring, there's harvesting of maple syrup. So, you know, there's activities around that. And how it gets started is one of our teammates, Tammy Finn, actually came up with the idea. And she's a fan of subscription boxes. So she had the great idea to come up with the Indigibox. And we just kind of created what would be in it. And it just grew a life of its own. We have a whole team that works on it. And there's four subscription boxes a year. And they can find out more on our website.
That's exciting. Lynn, you know, is it as fun as it sounds when you get that box? It's like, hey, I hope there's a candy bar in there too, but here comes some great curriculum and things to help out my Native kids.
Oh yeah, it's like Christmas for me. I love it. The books are beautiful, absolutely beautiful books. The teacher gifts, I gotta be honest, they're pretty amazing. So they just make you feel a little extra special, and they're related to the contents of the box, and they're cultural, and they're wonderful. So I really look forward to the box. Whenever UPS drops it off, I'm right there opening it.
Barb, how long has this been going on? This sounds like a great idea. And are you talking about quarterly for each season? How has the response been, and how exciting is that to put together?
A lot of work goes into it. It actually takes, you know, it is four times a year. And we just mailed out the fall subscription box today. I'm tongue-tied. It's catchy, Robert. we're also taking orders for the winter box. And we've been doing it. We're on our second year. We didn't know how it was going to go. So the first box, we only created 50. And within a week, we already had a waiting list. So we kind of knew we were onto something. And you know, it started with us talking about we're creating an cultural early childhood curriculum. And so then the subscription box came into the conversation. And so that's how it was created.
That's exciting. And we got less than a minute and a half here before we go to break. I think, you know, do we reach a lot of people? And again, I'm tongue-tied there. That's bad to be a radio host and be tongue-tied. But we reach a lot of people now. Could anybody like across the country subscribe to this? And that as long as they're a teacher and teaching Native kids in Ojibwe.
Absolutely. It's for classrooms, any classroom in any home. It's really, and it can also go up to probably grade 4. So there's activities in there, like we said, relate to the season, and we create it for children. And there, we recently, and when we come back from break, I'll share a little bit about the survey that we did after our first year.
Wow, thanks.
The results.
That's awesome. Hey, we're this is Native Roots Radio, and we're presenting in partnership with Little Moments Count some really great information working on our little ones, and we're really excited to keep on going with this interview. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us, please.
Ramsey County's Transforming Systems Together initiative is rethinking how the county delivers services and invests in the community, including through grants. Grants are available to support individuals and organizations providing prevention services and serving vulnerable youth involved in child protection and foster care. To learn more and see if you or your organization qualifies, visit ramseycounty.us/TST grants. Applications are due by September 30th.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
At Metro State University, students learn from expert instructors in high-demand degree programs such as healthcare, technology, cybersecurity, teaching, and business. As one of the most diverse universities in Minnesota, Metro State University is a flexible learning environment dedicated to equity, inclusion, and anti-racism. Explore more than 60 high-quality undergraduate programs at Metro State University's Open House, online October 11th through 13th, and in person October 19th and 20th. Visit metrostate.edu for details.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this episode of Native Roots Radio is in partnership with Little Moments Count.
Native Roots Radio is excited to be partnering with Little Moments Count to host conversations focused on early childhood development. So we're going to be having monthly guests to talk about how they view the role of early childhood development in creating bright futures and strong communities. And today we have Barb Faber back again. I believe this is her third time on with the Little Moments Count group, and she's brought with her Lynn Shields. And welcome back, ladies. Thanks so much for being here to talk about Indigibox.
It's great to be here, and we really appreciate this conversation. And much like Little Moments Count, you know, we incorporate each activity page towards a developmental subject such as literacy, math, science, art, or other early learning content areas. The pages include instructions and materials needed for the activity, along with the developmental outcomes that are based on the teaching strategies goal observation and assessment tool.
That's really cool. This Indigibox, Lynn, I want to just ask you a quick question. Do you engage the students when you open up that box and say, this is what's coming and this is exciting? Or is that a personal thing?
Depending on when it comes, sometimes I'm so excited I can't wait until the kids leave, so I have to open it right away. But it can backfire because they get so excited they want to do all the activities that day instead of going home. So,
right. Well, that's a good way. And as a former teacher, it's always great to have the students engaged and excited about learning. So that's a fun thing. And Indigibox is, you know, how did these, Barb, how did these lessons get developed? I know, I know you're involved with the picking of the curriculum and the fun things that go in there, but who else is involved with that?
Yeah, so like I said, we have a wonderful team, and Taylor Finn is an early childhood teacher, and she was in a classroom for years. And she uses the activity page or develops the activity page based on what the theme is. Usually we'll get together, decide what the themes are, what the activities will be. And then Taylor will create those pages in it to that'll develop those lesson plans in the book, in the cultural item. So it's all kind of connected. And it takes about 2-3 months to create everything, order everything. And we just have a team that does a little bit of everything.
So how does, we talked a little bit before break, how do somebody, you know, we're big in Wisconsin, we're live in a bunch of stations, we're on Civic Media Network all over Turtle Island here, and how would somebody get in touch with you about these Indigent Box?
They just need to go on our website and they can find out information, they can look at past boxes, and you know, there's an order form on there, and you can do purchase orders or credit card, and they can just kind of look around. We did a survey of our participants, our customers, and, you know, because we want to know what they think of it, just like tonight we're asking Lynn, but really wanted to hear from them. And a lot of the responses said that they felt the materials were giving non-Indigenous teachers access to the proper and respectful teaching material of the Ojibwe culture, for example. So we use that feedback. A lot of them said it was really easy to incorporate into any other curriculum that they're using within the classroom.
That's totally exciting. If you don't mind, Barb, I want to get to Lynn and talk a little bit about, you know, what is it like? So give an example of one of your favorite lessons and how you pull that out and how you basically teach it and how the kids respond.
Okay, so two lessons really come to mind. Last year we did the Winter Maker Constellation, a lesson on that, and we don't have an active cultural coordinator, so the task falls to me. And so the kids have been introduced to this before, but the Indigibox brought it to a whole new level. And so we read a book about the constellations, then the kids did an art activity, and it was wonderful to see the kids doing it with their own two hands on their own level, understanding the lesson and the story we just covered, and creating the Winter Maker constellation, and then teaching their parents about it. So we hung them all up in the entryway, and the parents were taught about Winter Maker from the children. So that was really a special one. Just recently, we did the Water Protector book.
Wow.
And so it was great. They gave us little plastic animals that I could put in the sensory table, and the kids reenacted the story with the black snake and talking about the importance of protecting our water and how water is life and how culturally important water is. So then I am blessed to have a beautiful outside area to walk and hike with our kids. So we went outside and there was puddles because it had just rained, and the children automatically took what they learned in the book and they're looking in the puddles and they're finding the two-leggeds and the four-leggeds that we are protecting, which the book talked about, and the winged ones. And so everything that we talked about in the book, everything we went through with the lesson, they have carried that on. And that was the first week of school, and they're still actively talking about it and being very careful about water and telling people about the importance of water and keeping it clean and safe. So wow. These lessons are interactive, they're age appropriate, and they stick with the children. So the children go home and tell their families. It's really a powerful message with each lesson that we do.
Well, Barb, you're a business Indigenous Visioning created this, and to hear just those two things, it's funny because as adults, we talk about those same things here on Native Roots Radio, so that's exciting. I had a big smile when I heard about the black snake, and also we're star and earth, what us Natives are made out of, so it was really cool to hear that.
You and me both, Robert, when listening to Lynn, I haven't heard that before. So I was really excited and, you know, very proud. Like Lynn was saying, the book accompanies a lesson plan. It provides, you know, the overview is like literacy and language, large and small groups. Then we provide material in there and the story. We provide the developmental outcomes, social, emotional, physical, cognitive, literacy, science, and technology. And we also have teacher prompts to incorporate those language and discussions and those little moments.
Wow. As a high school teacher, former high school teacher, this curriculum sounds pretty progressive and pretty exciting. How does this differentiate in age, Lynn? How is this for young people? Because I love the message.
It's great. When I am preparing for the lessons, I feel very empowered as a teacher. When I have the background work, the materials teach me about the traditions, the culture, the language, and then I'm able to present that to the children. And in the lesson plan, there's differentiation. So it'll say, you know, for younger children, do this, or for older children, do this. And so it makes it really easy to just hit the kids where they are at their different levels. And I just feel really prepared going into these lessons. And the materials are such high quality. I don't want to sound like a commercial, but I'm so impressed. Each box just gets better and better. And they really, you can tell that they put a lot of thought and mindfulness into it because they meet the needs of the teacher and also the students.
So with the water protector, I just got a text from somebody listening that I know in Wisconsin, and he said black snake. You just said black snake, and I did, because that is what was referred to in Standing Rock was the oil pipeline.
Right. And there's a picture of that in the book. And my students will still take the book and they will read it to each other. And they will talk about the black snake. And if they find litter outside in a puddle or something, they say, oh, the black snake was here. So wow. They very much take these lessons to heart.
Wow. Barb, I hope your buttons are busting, because this is really exciting for me to hear.
Yeah, we, like I said, we didn't know how it was going to be received. And, you know, we try to incorporate the culture and the values of Ojibwe and the stories, the traditions. And we have, we aren't the experts in all of that. So we look to our elders and some advisors to make sure that our content is accurate. And we have Vince Bile is our elder and our cultural advisor, and we run things by him, and very knowledgeable person. And so we just, you know, these types of interactions, like Lynn was saying, you know, it's they're relevant. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, they're relevant for Indigenous children, teachers and non-tribal teachers.
Can you guys stay on another segment? I really am enjoying this, if you don't mind, and it's flying really by quickly. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Falling, but the virus is still around. Stay healthy and up to date on your COVID vaccinations and boosters. Right now, everyone 6 months and older is eligible to get a vaccination, while everyone 5 and up is eligible for their booster shot. Plus, you're eligible for a second booster if you're over 50 or received an initial booster dose at least 4 months ago. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hello, Minneapolis. It's Randy Rhodes on your radio in the heart of the Midwest every weeknight from 10 to midnight on AM 950.
Next Chapter Booksellers has lots of new books in stock just in time for fall. And while we're sad to see summer go, the colder weather does make better reading weather, so stop by the store off Snelling and Grand in St. Paul. Browse the shelves, or if you're not sure what to get, ask a friendly bookseller. We're great at making recommendations no matter your taste. Next Chapter Booksellers also has a wide variety of puzzles, games, and even some early holiday shopping gift ideas. That's the independently owned Next Chapter Booksellers in St. Paul.
Hi, I'm Rachel Shamblot. My dad is Dr. Scott Shamblot from Shamblot Family Dentistry. A lot of people are afraid of the dentist, but you don't have to be. My dad makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun. He won't be mad if you haven't seen a dentist in a long time. He just wants to take care of you and your teeth. If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Shamblot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at shamblotfamilydentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
2022 continues to be a hot real estate market, and any advantage you gain could net you thousands of dollars. If you do plan to move at some point, installing a system from All Energy Solar could increase your resale value and help you sell your home faster. Energy costs will not be going down anytime soon, so a property with a solar energy system could make it much more attractive to potential buyers. Buyers consider electric bills when buying a home, and installing solar panels is viewed as an upgrade. Each kilowatt of solar energy could increase the resale value of your home by thousands of dollars. And even when you sell your home, you'll likely recoup the cost of switching to solar thanks to your increased property value. So if you plan to sell your home, make your home as attractive as possible to buyers by switching to All Energy Solar. Get a free, no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 43, Thursday sunny with a high near 67, and Friday sunny with a high around 71. Check out the award-winning Hazel's Northeast for a delicious meal any time of the day. Breakfast favorites include the meat waffle, hippie cakes, and chicken fried steak and eggs, while for dinner, try selections like the meatloaf and mushroom ravioli. Hazel's Northeast is located off 29th and Johnson, more at hazelsnetogo.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with littlemoments.com.
Close. Littlemomentscount.org. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. So if you haven't tuned in to hear me say this once, I'm going to say it again because it's so important. About 80% of brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days, and really small moments of interaction like talking, playing, reading, and singing with the child can help create pathways that really build their brain in the early stage of life. So you can go to littlemomentscount.org and you can find more information. There's really great resources there. And we're really excited to be partnering with Little Moments Count to talk about early childhood development conversations, which is who we have today. Robert, who's with us?
Well, you know, we're here with Barb, and Barb has a great guest here, Lynn, who's a teacher and utilizing this indigenized book, it's just been really a great show, Barb. I would like you to possibly tell people how to get involved and how to reach out to you, and then we'll talk a little bit more about how great this package that you get as a teacher and with curriculum, and how great is that, you know? For me, it's like, hey, help me write my curriculum. That's great.
Well, People can go to our website, which is indigenousvisioning.com, and there's an Indigibox tab on there, and they can just click on that to find out more. And you're right, Robert. We created this subscription box because we're, you know, we've been in the early childhood field for 30 years. And I know we had many conversations about children, especially Indigenous children, that may not be living on a reservation and in an urban setting or in a non-tribal early childhood program. And we wanted children to see a little bit of their culture in the classroom so that they feel welcome, they feel invited. And it's just been a wonderful experience and journey that we've been on with this. We're anxious to see where we're going. And we've also talked about maybe the next box to create would be the Dakota box. And so we've talked to a lot of people, and you know, we get feedback from them. We also include a wonderful little resource magazine inside the Indigibox, and it just talks about the teachings of the seven grandfathers' teachings, the learning corner, traditions of the season, teachings and legends, connections to our language, recipe. We love that page. That's always fun. And wisdoms from our elder. And about we share information about our elder and about our artists. And we're always looking for local artists, you know, and crafters so that we can include genuine craft items that are very common in our homes. And the children can relate to that.
Wow. I like what Evelyn put, enjoying listening, learning about tribal topics, not only our reservation, connecting with other natives. That's a really great point. And I know after you do the Lakota Dakota, Ho-Chunk will be right behind. Yeah. All right, I'm cracking myself up. Lynn, any last words here about how you appreciate this box and you can't wait for the next subscription here?
It's true. And the magazine that Barb just talked about, I feel that it just makes me a better person. I understand the traditions, the teachings. I'm implementing them in my life and in my home with my own children. It's just a whole new level of respect and understanding that I can bring to the classroom, and it helps me live it and understand it. And it makes me a better teacher to implement the seven teachings and all the topics from the magazine. I'm easily able to implement it into every domain of learning for our children. And I feel that, again, as a non-native teacher, it's my responsibility to do that. But this box helps. I'm going to get choked up, but it helps me bring joy to my own life and to bring it to the children and to see the pride in them as they are learning about their culture. And when they see that I am proud of their culture and that I am also adopting the beliefs, the traditions into my own life. I have to say that Indigibox is my biggest blessing as a teacher, besides my children, of course, but it is my best resource that I could ever have. Truly.
Wow, Barb. That got me emotional.
Yeah.
Me too.
I have already sent an email to my daughter's school. She's out of the early childhood. She's already in fourth grade now, my oldest is. But I have a youngest who's just about 6 months old who'll be coming into early childhood soon. So I just sent over an email to our school's director and another teacher that has been, you know, really adamant about getting this kind of stuff in. So thank you for bringing this to our show and to our communities, for the people who are tuning in. If there's a teacher in your life, an early childhood teacher, let them know that this exists.
I am in a very remote area. I'm 10 minutes from the Canadian border where I teach. And so we don't have easy access to all of the supplies and all the materials. And so when I get the box, everything I need is right there. So they make it easy to add excellence to the programming.
Lynn,
and I just want to say one thing too, Robert, is that, you know, you don't have to be a teacher. We also, you know, we have parents and grandparents that order this for their own home. So because they care for young children. So it's for anybody, really.
Well, there you go, Ogama. You can order one for us and yourself up there in the deep north. I think that got me going as a former educator. We really appreciate you stopping in and speaking your truth and bringing this great information. And I don't know. That's it's been a great show so far. So, any last words before we let you go?
I just want to thank Little Moments Count. I've been involved with them for many years, and they really, really care about children, and they do things that are so innovative, and they keep the parent in mind and the child in mind, and that brain development, those are staggering statistics if you really look at them. And we need to level the playing field for our kids. And Little Moments Count has been doing a lot of activities. So visit them, sign up for their information. You won't regret it. And Miigwech for allowing us to come on here and share about Indigibox. Like I said, we didn't know how it was going to be received. And we really appreciate it.
And wow. I want to say thank you to you, Barb, for coming to Grand Portage, introducing me to this box. I will never forget when I said, is it appropriate for a teacher like me to use this box? And you said, we made this box for teachers like you. And that made me feel included and respected and very honored that you trust me to carry on these teachings. So thank you.
Wow, really great point there, Lynn. You know, and great questions to ask somebody in the Native culture if it's appropriate. That's rock star status. Really appreciate that. And appreciate you both being on today. And I can't wait until what you have for us in a couple weeks, Barb, because it's just, these shows are just getting better and better. And really excited for you and your organization and what you're doing for Native kids, but all kids across Turtle Island. All right, you guys have a great night. Thanks for stopping in. Wow. Wow, that was amazing.
That was wonderful, amazing. And I'm so excited. I'm on the website right now, and I'm like, am I going to sign up? It's a little early.
Multitasking as usual.
I am multitasking as usual, but you know, I'm looking at the box and I'm thinking like, oh, well, my baby isn't old enough and my oldest isn't young enough, but also my Ojibwe skills are probably about that of an early childhood student. So I could order it for me and help build my skills.
Yeah. Well, I was definitely thinking about it too. And not just because I'm a former teacher, but just that's exciting stuff. And it's funny. We talk about, like I said earlier in the interview, Ogama, we talk about this stuff on the daily when it comes to Native issues. And we're always not only talking to our Native relatives, but our white allies who are really interested. And it was great to hear what Lynn said, because we get that a lot. I got that a lot at the store at the state fair, too. It's like, is it okay if I wear this? And those are great questions to ask, you know, and because we need all the allies we can get, right?
Well, I think a lot of teachers, too, have come on or that I've talked to, like around my daughter's school, and I'm in school right now with a teaching focus, and a lot of non-Native people go, I want to teach about Native culture and history. I want to talk about this with my students, but I don't know how to do it in a respectful way. They're aware that a lot of what they've been taught and a lot of what they see in the media isn't respectful to Indigenous people, but they don't know where to start to decolonize their mindset about it. And a lot of times they come to Native people and go, can you come speak to my class? Can you help me with this? And to have something like a subscription box, which is just genius, honestly, that goes directly to teachers and gives them the permission and empowers them and uplifts them to say, this is something that's important for you to teach, and here's an easy way for you to help teach it to your students, is just so meaningful and powerful. It's going to make a big difference in how we view tribal and Native people here in Minnesota, tribal governments, Native people, everything from the ground up.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it was funny, too, when I think about prescription boxes or subscription, we had subscribed to fruit. You know, we got different fruit once a month and it was different.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And then also those subscription, like clothes I see people or shoes and things like
that. Oh, I've seen those. The best one I think I ever had is when my husband and I were dating, I got him like a worldwide food subscription box. So every month they send him snacks from a different country. That one was really fun. I kind of missed that one. I might have to sign up for that one again now, too.
Sign us up, too. Oh, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And I like what Kathleen said. It should be sent to all schools in the USA. Amen to that. We'll be right back with the news with Ogama. Stay with us.
Ramsey County's Transforming Systems Together initiative is rethinking how the county delivers services and invests in the community, including through grants. Grants are available to support individuals and organizations providing prevention services and serving vulnerable youth involved in child protection and foster care. To learn more and see if you or your organization qualifies, visit ramseycounty.us/TST grants. Applications are due by September 30th.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
As we head towards colder weather, it's important to make sure you're up to date on vaccinations and protected from COVID-19. The Native American Community Clinic is now administering the updated Pfizer bivalent booster. The updated bivalent booster helps protect against the original COVID-19 strain and against newer Omicron variants. And it will help restore protection that has decreased since previous vaccinations. People age 12 and older are now recommended to get an updated bivalent booster dose at least 2 months after their last COVID-19 shot. That means the bivalent booster may be given after a person's primary series or after their last booster shot, regardless of what brand you received before. Even if you've already had COVID-19, you should get vaccinated. Right now, at the Native American Community Clinic, you can get COVID-19 vaccines, including updated boosters, at the same visit as other vaccines. However, if you've received a recent monkeypox vaccine, you may need to wait 4 weeks before you can get a COVID-19 vaccine, and you should discuss this with your provider. Schedule your vaccination appointment with the Native American Community Clinic by calling 612-872-8086.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
Oh.
Hey, Ogama, thanks a lot for being flexible, and we mixed up the show a little bit here, and we're going to probably end again with a little Native news that you don't hear anywhere else. And again, I just want to give a shout out to our relatives in Florida. I was watching the news before we came on, and it looks gnarly.
It looks pretty bad, but some of the reports that are coming in regarding Hurricane Ian off the western coast of Florida say that it's actually weakened to a Category 3 as of about a half an hour ago. CNN's reporting it's down to a Category 3, which means instead of 140-mile-an-hour winds, they're only looking at about 125-mile-an-hour winds. But still, there's been wind gusts more than 100 miles per hour that have been reported so far. It just made landfall this afternoon. So that is, I think our prayers are working. It went down from a Category 4 to a Category 3 today. So keep praying for our relatives, and for communities down in, Florida. Right now, there's power outages being reported in more than a dozen counties, and about seven counties are reporting more than 50% of customers, without power. So Florida has surpassed now 1.5 million people without power for the time being. I don't know how long that's going to last, but this storm hit Go ahead, Robert.
I'm sorry. It's just a little north of Fort Myers, and the footage I saw, the 120 miles an hour, Ogamo, would still blow my toupee off. So I'm just throwing that out there.
I mean, it would blow a lot of things away, you know, and it just, I mean, it is crazy how many of these storms that we've had now, you know, we talked about, we still talk about, you know, Hurricane Katrina being, you know, what destroyed a big portion of the Gulf Coast, you know, and that was, how long was Hurricane Katrina now? And we've just had, it seems every year we have one of these massive storms and communities just can't seem to fully recover from these types of storms. I mean, Puerto Rico has been without power. They're American citizens and they've been without power there for, you know, some places months on end. They still haven't recovered from hurricanes a couple of years ago. And now we have Hurricane Ian hitting in Florida. So we have a lot of relatives to pray for as crazy weather and climate change really start to affect us.
Yeah, and again, I don't know, are you caught up? I know you have news, but I thought I'd ask you this question before you do the news. Are you caught up on Reservation Dogs yet? Or
I am not.
All right.
I think I'm two episodes from the end. I keep meaning to catch up, but I have a little bit going on right now. So
yeah,
It hasn't been a priority, but I did... I do have a couple of spoilers already, so if there's something you wanted to put on air, go for it.
No. I just am excited because I haven't watched the last one, and I have seen a few memes out there, or memes or whatever the heck they're called, about tonight's show. So,
yeah, I haven't seen anything.
Aaron,
yet.
Looks like Aaron saw a great episode tonight. Oh, okay, Aaron.
Ooh, all right, I'm excited. You know what I really wanted to talk about this week, though, is that the United States Truth and Reconciliation Week is this week. So it's running now through September 30th, where it kind of culminates on the National Day of Remembrance, which is a day that recognizes the U.S. Native boarding school system and those that did not come home from that system. So Truth and Reconciliation was really a phrase that was created in Canada, and it has made its way south here to the U.S. To be a way for people to talk about in the government and in their communities and on social media about how the U.S. government, you know, abused Native children and systematically created cultural genocide. And through an extensive network in Canada and the United States, and now since Canada is starting to reckon with this history and the intergenerational trauma that's happened, the United States has now followed suit. So we are going to be seeing a lot more information about this coming into the mainstream media. But just earlier this year, the United States released Volume 1 of the Federal Indian Boarding School Initiative Investigative Report. It came out in May of this year. And its key findings said that there were 408 schools in the United States that operated between 1819 and 1969. Let that sink in for how late they were in full operation. And there's even reports of some schools that continued well into the 90s. Schools were located in 37 states, including Hawaii and Alaska. And they have identified burial sites at 53 schools so far. So based on an initial review, they think about 500 child deaths have been identified at 19 of the 408 boarding schools here in the U.S. And they expect that number to increase. So these are things that we talk about all the time on Native Roots Radio. These are things that Native people talk about. There is not, and Deb Halland said this earlier this week at an event that she was at, where she was talking about how there is not a single person who is not touched by boarding school policies. She spoke earlier at the 39th annual National Tribal Health Conference on, it was yesterday actually. And she said that there's nobody that hasn't been touched. And I think that they're right. And Robert, I know you have this connection to, you know, the 60s scoop and some of those policies that even continued after the boarding schools were closed.
Yeah, you know, I've probably said this 100 times on our show over the last 6 years, Ogama, but if you want an inside story, there's that great CBC documentary on Finding Cleo, and it really gives you a lot of background of what the 60s scoop was in Canada and what happened to that family in particular, that which was not out of the norm for natives.
Right.
There's genocide in many different ways, right, Ogama?
Exactly. And, you know, that type of genocide continued here in the United States, which is why the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA, was established. And now we're looking at a Supreme Court that stands to make a ruling this fall on ICWA and whether or not it's considered constitutional based on the treatment and requirement for placement with Native children within their culture whenever possible. And that could be something that is truly detrimental, because Native children here in Minnesota are taken from their parents at a higher rate than any other group in Minnesota, and many states in the United States are that same way. So we have those policies that are continuing here. And the reason that I brought this up too, another reason that I brought this up, obviously it's this week, but there is something pretty miraculous that's going to be happening here in North Dakota. Danica Burr is an accomplished athlete, and she is doing a run for Awareness for Healing on September 30th. She's leaving at 1 a.m. Saturday, September 30th from Twin Buttes, North Dakota, and she is running 108 miles to Bismarck, North Dakota, and expects to arrive the same day at 6 p.m. So she's doing this for awareness and for healing in honor of Orange Shirt Day or the National Boarding School Remembrance Day here in the United States. So make sure to check it out on social media. Follow Danica Burr, and she's a member of the MHA Nation, so I'm sure their pages will have some things for them.
Wow, that's exciting. And, you know, another good thing, too, to watch is Blood Memory. About ICWA and what it's done to our people. Hey, Ogama, thanks for everything. And wow, what a great show. Great guests, as always. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plentycoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, and is blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.